Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It's our final show of the week, and we're going to talk about three tournaments in one short show here today. We're talking about the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions on the LPGA. We'll talk about the Hero Dubai Desert Classic on the DP World Tour. And then we will ever so briefly touch on the Champions Tour, their opener, which starts with the event in Hawaii, which is the Mitsubishi Electric Championship at Hualalai. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. Let's dig right into the show. So I want to start with the Dubai Desert Classic because we're recording this pretty late. Like 7:40 Eastern when we're doing this, so we're going to get this out by about 8:15, and then it's going to be cutting close to make sure you're going to have an opportunity to bet on this. So I want to talk about that right away, start with that, and then, you know, if you want to listen to the rest of this later and bet on it in the morning or something, hey, then that makes the most sense. All right, so Dubai Desert Classic, Rory McIlroy has three wins in this tournament. He's going for a fourth. He's the defending champion, had a chance to win last week. If he doesn't quadruple a par three and three putt from 2 feet on another, he wins the golf tournament easily over Tommy Fleetwood. That didn't happen. Didn't win. He's the favorite here this week by a pretty commanding amount. He's plus 260 on the board at DraftKings. I think he opened closer to plus 350, and people were like, I'm buying that guy up. And I don't really see a lot of value in betting Rory McIlroy. I mean, you can if you want. It's almost like I did this a couple weeks ago with Colin Morikawa at the Century, where I bet him enough that it would cover all of my other bets plus like $20. And I would come out just slightly ahead if he won. Maybe you can do that here if you choose to bet this tournament, or you're choosing to bet a series of tournaments and you just kind of use this as a general hedge position. That's up to you. But it's hard to do that at plus 260. Morikawa was at, 12-1? This is not even close to that. So you could think about that if you want to try to devise a strategy here, but I would not recommend that. Tyrrell Hatton's 10-1. He was playing great golf at the end of last year. Tommy Fleetwood, 11-1, just won last week. Loves playing in the UAE, particularly in Abu Dhabi. But hey, just won here. Why can't you feel good? Nikolai Højgaard, Joaquin Niemann, Cameron Young, Adrian Meronk, all 20-1. I like Meronk the most of those. He seems most comfortable in the DP World Tour. Niemann had a very nice offseason, played well in Australia. I don't think you can disregard him whatsoever. He is a world-class player, so you've got to consider him this week. I don't love that number on him. I would love him closer to 30, and I'd snatch that right up. I'm going to leave Cameron Young alone. Rasmus Højgaard, 22-1. Brian Harman's playing this week in this event, 22-1. Get probably a nice appearance fee as the Open champion. Adam Scott, 25-1. Torbjørn Olsen, I think a lot of people are going to like 25-1. I consider wagering on him. He had a very nice finish to last year and continued it last week. Ryan Fox, 35-1. So-so, but he's played this tournament pretty well. Jordan Smith, a lot of people are going to bet on. I would bet Tristan Lawrence at 40-1. He has played very well in his last two starts. Last three starts. I would stick with him here. He's playing pretty good golf. So I would stick with him at 40-1. Yannick Paul had a really nice week last week. I bet him way too often. I would almost have to have him as a safety position, but 45-1 I think is pretty reasonable for a guy who just strikes the ball very well, is going to put himself in a position to win pretty often. As we mentioned, Richard Mansell had a really nice finish to last year. Okay start to this year, 80-1. It's kind of intriguing to me. There are not a whole lot of guys you really want to love to bet. Here, Xander Lombard at 70-1 showed some signs. I've been betting him a little bit going back to last fall, the tail end, and just have not gotten the payoff, obviously. But 70-1 is a pretty fair price, I think, for this field and his quality of play in it. I don't see a whole lot of reason to go a whole lot deeper than that. I know we've had some triple-digit win on the PGA Tour in the first 2 weeks of 2024. There may be some consideration worth looking at, like a Bernd Wiesberger. He's back on the DP World Tour after playing on LIV, not having his contract extended for the Cliques, I think is who he was playing for. And he's back. I think he's a different player now. 110-1, I would want more like 150-1. Alex Fitzpatrick interests me at 130-1 because it wasn't that long ago that we just assumed he was going to win eventually. And I think fairly so, but now he's not playing that kind of golf at the moment. Kind of come back down a little bit, but can he come back up? And I think 130-1 is just enough to be intrigued to put a couple bucks on. Marcus Helikild, I'm still not ready to get in on him yet, but keep on the lookout for him, 150-1 going into the week. Let's see, Audrey Arnaas, 180-1. He's probably on his way to LIV, so this might be his kind of warm-up run to go to LIV if the rumors are to be believed, and a lot of them are typically wrong, so I'm not saying you should, but he's kind of interesting there. MJ DeFoe's in the field. I don't want you to bet him at all, but it is interesting that he's playing some DP World Tour. He's probably going to take some of those starts for the players in the 126 to 200 FedEx Cup category from last season. He's probably going to try and do that and get his way back toward a card. I really don't see the desire to go much beyond 80-1 this week. I'm not getting it, but I'm sure there are some people who are taking some longer shots than that. I just don't see the value, and don't try to make any connection between what's happened on the PGA Tour and what's happening now this week on the DP World Tour in their first full field event of the year. This golf course tends to require some level of experience on it. You don't typically win in your first try. It's not that kind of golf course. It has some quirks to it. Some of the sight lines are a little awkward. You want a good driver of the golf ball, and not just a long driver of the golf ball. That's not what I mean. I mean a good driver of the golf ball. Long is obviously better, but in control is important here. You need to be in control of your golf ball to place it. It really sets up everything on this golf course, in my estimation. So I would stay toward the top, maybe a hedge position on McIlroy. I'm not going to do that. Love Moronk. Olsen's great. I like Lawrence or Paul. Both are fine. I consider Xander Lombard, and that would be enough for me. I don't think I would go any deeper than that, but your mileage is going to vary. This is a tournament I think it's worth betting live. The weather can change. It might not also, but I think you can also get a lot of momentum quickly on this course. So it is something worth looking at live later. I would also look at a tournament winning margin play here at one stroke exactly and two strokes. The playoffs are possible for sure, but I think one or two is your most likely outcome in this tournament. This is a bigger tournament. It's a Rolex Series event. I don't bet a ton of DP World Tour. Try to keep it pretty simple. Sometimes, especially in the bigger tournaments, because you don't get a whole lot of value because of who's playing at the top. You get a good field here, so you get modest value. But once you get into those events where you have 5, 6, 7 of the world top 50 competing, it's not a whole lot of value for what will likely be the outcome. What we're looking forward to are events like the Ras Al Khaimah Championship that's still in the UAE, but the field's not going to be very good, so you might be able to get a 70, 80, 100-1 shot that wins that thing, as opposed to this, which is a marquee event. It's a good tournament. All right, let's talk about the champions real quick. They have their event to kick off the year, the Mitsubishi Electric Championship at Hualalai, again, in Hawaii. This tournament is a limited field affair, so there's no cut, but there are still, and it's not a full field affair either, but there are still a good number of players competing this week, and this is a golf course, Hualalai, where I think you have to have had some decent experience. You know, you got to feel pretty good about it. Let's put it that way. I don't think you just show up here and play well. I don't take it as that kind of golf course. Again, sight lines kind of different. You've got the volcanic rock all over the place, which is a cool look. You kind of have to pick your lines and know them and believe in them. And then when the wind blows, it makes it much more difficult to do that. So bear all that in mind as you're thinking about any potential wagers here. The handle in this tournament will be low, if not next to zero. It's just kind of the way it goes. That doesn't mean you can't bet it. I'd look at Ernie Els 9-1. you basically get no value in the three players that are most likely to win this. Steve Stricker plus 260, Stuart Sink plus 450, Steve Alker plus 550. I wouldn't bet Sink because he hasn't really played this tournament. Stricker can win anywhere at any time. Els had a really nice end of the year. I would look at Jerry Kelly at 16-1. I like Darren Clark here as well, 35-1. He's played well here historically. Same with Fred Couples, although we're kind of getting to the age with Fred Couples where it's like if he wins, it's a kind of a miracle. Colin Montgomery kind of interests me at 100-1 a little bit. Dickie Pride as well had a really nice year last year. And Steve Flesh can win out of anywhere. And if the weather blows, he might be a guy that's just worth having in pocket at 130-1. I would not recommend a whole lot of thinking about this. If you're going to do it, just small wagers, couple bucks, something to have on the TV when they have it on and have something to think about. Other than that, please don't go too far with this. The Champions Tour is one of those things that once you get 10, 12 events into the season, you know there are 3 to 5 guys generally that have a chance of winning every tournament. And everybody else is not worth betting. And you can play an arbitrage system where it should work out, unless you're kind of in Stricker territory where he's like plus 225 to win, where you're going to get plus 500 or better on every one of those 3, 4, or 5 golfers. And if they win, you came out ahead. If somehow they didn't, then oh well, but you're going to come out ahead. You're playing small. I play small ball on this tour, unless you want to look toward guys like I mentioned, Steve Flesh, Dickie Pride, Ken Tanagawa a little bit, Justin Leonard if he starts to show up, Mike Weir sometimes. Those guys are in the 50s. Maybe a Ken Duke who had a breakthrough last year. Guys like that, maybe. But there's really not a lot of value in betting the Champions Tour because those upset wins are maybe 2 to 3 times a year. And the rest of the time, it's big boys. So just keep that in mind. All right, last tournament to talk about. Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions on the LPGA. It's really 2 tournaments at once. There's 36 pros competing in a no-cut 72-hole event at Lake Nona Golf and Country Club in Orlando. There's also 50 players who are competing in a celebrity event, playing a modified Stableford scoring system at the same time, and they're often paired together. So there can be some distraction there. It can kind of be like playing a pro-am, because it is an am, even though they're getting paid like professionals to be celebrities and compete in this field. And the purse is not nothing. It's $500,000. So this is a substantial amount of money if you're playing as a professional, not as an AM in the celebrity event. And that will slow things down a little bit. Lake Nona, I've played it 2 or 3 times personally. I like the golf course. It is a little bit tighter. Florida golf can get tight very quickly. The place I'm going to play on Tuesday down in Orlando for the PGA merchandise show. The place that we're going to play is Orange Tree. That's the tightest golf course I've ever played. Lake Nona's not that tight, but it is tighter off the tee in some places than you expect, than you might think about when you think Florida golf. It's more like desert golf where you're like, oh, this is kind of tight. I'm going to be in the desert if I miss. You kind of go into some nasty, dense woods at Lake Nona in certain spots. And then in some other places, it's pretty wide open. I'll say more tight than wide open, but there are some tight landing areas, tight shots. It's all about creating angles for your second shot. Even the more wide open tee shots, you still want to be in a certain area to try to create the best angle possible. Fair number of dog legs and just kind of some tee shots. Like, you got to put this here or it's not going to work. So for me, you got to be accurate off the tee. But if you look at the results of the 2 years of this tournament being here, being longer helps. Nelly Cord has played well in the couple of years that's been here. Gabby Lopez has played well here. She's a little bit of a longer hitter. So Gabby Lopez is one of my picks, 28-1, like 12th on the board, 36 players in this field. There's no cut, so it's a free bet, at least in terms of giving yourself a chance to get to Sunday. Brooke Henderson is the defending champion. She won here in the not a little bit windier conditions. She hasn't played as well. She's 10-1. I would probably stay away from that. Lilia Vu, I like a lot at 7-1. She just played such great golf last year. I expect that to continue. Lynn Grant, 14-1, I think is worth a look. She played very well in the windy conditions when I saw her at the Solheim Cup. Charlie Hall plays good golf in Florida. I would go look at her. Those players are 14 and 16 to 1. Leona McGuire could play very well in windy conditions and can be very accurate off the tee. 22 to 1, I think, is worth a look. Allie Ewing has played well in this tournament when it's been here. 30 to 1 is worth a consideration, I think. Of those, I'm probably most likely to go to Leona, Gabby, and I guess Lynn Grant would probably be the three I would pick. You're not betting more than three or four players in this field because there's only 36 of them. You can't go crazy here. That's just not possible. Other than that, I would look at Jodi Ewert-Shadoff. She is an Orlando native, 45 to 1. Ashley Buhai, 45 to 1, has played pretty okay in this tournament when it's been here. And maybe Alexa Pano. She hadn't here by winning the event over in Northern Ireland. She's going to be in this tournament for the next 2 years. She's played a lot of golf in the Orlando area. She's probably played this place a bunch. 130 to 1. Just interesting enough. I think this is going to be the year where she kind of takes that win that kind of came out of nowhere and spins it into something. And that could start here. Having a shorter field, kind of being under the radar, I think that can work to her advantage. So if you want a bomb, you go there. Or Paraji, Anarukarn, she's 130 to 1 as well. And I think they're both worth a look. And I'll open up Pahari real quick. So if you look at her finish to the year, she didn't finish particularly well in Naples, but she started to kind of rack up some good finishes. Played well at the Maybank Championship, where she finished T13, T22 with the BMW Ladies Championship. And she's got some good finishes. She really does. So I would, and she's 24, just kind of starting to come into her own. I would consider looking at her this week if you want to think about a deeper shot. Alexa Pano is kind of in similar kind of character. Like she could have some really good finishes, but I feel like she just doesn't often enough. And so if you look at her 2023, after she wins in Northern Ireland, T22, T12, T16, cut, T54, T29, cut, T36. So a couple good weeks in the follow-up, not so good otherwise. If you look at the finishes that were good, Portland, Columbia Edgewater, which hosts that tournament, a little bit tighter. Kenwood in Cincinnati, a little bit tighter. But then if you go to the Ascendant LPGA, which was in the Colony, it's not tight, but it was very windy. Not so good. I'm not sure what to take from that, but at 130 to 1 in a tournament where you get a free roll, hey, why not? I might be willing to go with her at that price. So let's say Alexa Pano at 130 to 1. Maybe you were chat off Gabby Lopez, Leona McGuire, Lynn Grant. Call it a day. All right, that's going to do it for us today and for this week on the show. Thanks so much for being a part of it. If you have any questions for me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com. On Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. You can join Golf News Net for $40 a year. There's been some really good response to that price point, so I'm happy about that. Thank you for signing up if you have. You can sign up for $10 a week as part of that membership. So if you just want to do it 1 week at a time and see what it's like, then quit after 7 days. Hey, that's cool. You're going to pay for it. But we do have that $10 a week option. Even if you don't want to use it this week, you want to use it during the majors, you can use it again and again and again. That's up to you. But if you go for all four majors, then obviously you're going to wind up paying the $40 anyway. So I would recommend you get that $40 for the year. You get a whole lot of just good information. And it'll make you a better. It'll help you understand some of the ways to look at golf betting, not just making picks. And I think that's really important in sports betting, is understanding why you're making the bets that you do. Not just trailing somebody, not just going with what they say, but trying to understand their reasoning and trying to form your own reasoning why you either support or don't like that bet. And golf, you need to have an understanding of why you're betting on what you're betting. Even if you're betting 3, 4, 5 players in a massive field and the odds are truly stacked against you, but if you get it right and you understand why you're betting certain players, even when you get them wrong, and do the right things, eventually it should work out in your favor. It only takes one. It truly only takes one. The last 2 weeks, a 150 to one shot and a 400 to one shot won on the PGA Tour. If you got either of those, for one, if you had Grayson Murray, you are a genius and you don't need me. But if you got Chris Kirk and you believed in it, you took what I said and went for it, actually put some money on it instead of me going talking myself out of it because of the history of that tournament, then you have scored. You are free rolling for a long time. And that's the process you have to undergo here to get yourself in position to have those moments where then you can just kind of free roll and see what happens next. All right, we'll be back next week with more shows. We will have another event on the PGA Tour. Keep things going on the DP World Tour. We'll have back-to-backs on the LPGA, so we'll have an event in Florida again next week, I think at Bradenton. And we won't have anything on the Champions Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour's first tournament wrapped up today. Similar situation. It'll start again in the middle of next weekend and go through the early part of the week. Frankly, there's no handle on those tournaments, so I wouldn't even touch it anyway. But if you do have questions about those, shoot me a note. I'll try to help you out as best I can. All right, thank you so much for your support. We will be back next week. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on The Press.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.